Blog Talk Radio. Good evening. Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, Sunday, Sunday, April 30th. The month has gone by so fast, just going right along, and we are finally at the last Sunday of the month. So thank you guys for tuning in and for hanging out with us all month long. We have Buffy Purcell on with us tonight. She was on, I think it was back in March. Sometime she was on talking about taxes, or early April maybe, we were talking about taxes, and now she's back to talk about savings. So it's going to be an interesting conversation tonight. If you have questions or comments, please give us a call at 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Denise, and she has some beauty news for us, and then we'll bring our guests back on the air.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the beauty news, and welcome to tonight's show. Glad to have you all tagging along with us. Very briefly, I just wanted to remind you of some quick, beauty news of a couple of events that's coming up. We've been mentioning it some time ago. Before about PBA Pro Beauty Week that's coming up Saturday through Tuesday, July 8th through Tuesday, July 11th at the Mandalay Bay Resort Convention Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. You don't have to be a member of PBA to attend, but it would benefit you to be. So if anyone's interested in joining PBA, which is the Professional Beauty Association, you can join today. The Professional Beauty Association is the largest and most inclusive trade organization representing the entire beauty industry. PBA exists to elevate, unify, and serve the beauty industry and the professionals who improve people's lives. That's you and that's me. Formed by the merger of the Beauty and Barber Supply Institute, if you all remember them, the American Beauty Association, the Salon Association, and then the one that I used to be a member of, the National Cosmetology Association, The Professional Beauty Association is the only organization to represent the entire beauty industry, representing nearly 2,000 beauty-centric businesses and more than 42,000 individuals. PBA members include manufacturers, distributors, salons, spas, schools, independent practitioners, students, and industry suppliers. In addition to advocacy, PBA provides its members with opportunities to save money on events and education and gain access, to industry research and resources. Committed to the long-term success of the stylists and the businesses that employ and support them, PBA is focused on enhancing the professionalism of the industry and committed to helping members achieve personal and professional excellence. So again, if you're not a member, you can join today and you can save money at the PBA Beauty Week. You can receive discounted admissions to PBA Pro Beauty Week events, including the North American Hairstyling Awards, which is coming up pretty soon. Member-only pricing on all education sessions offered through the Professional Beauty Association and Cosmopro North America. And exhibiting business members enjoy discounts on select GES services. So, again, you can visit probeauty.org/join, or you can call the PBA membership team at 480-455-3460. Excuse me. To become a member. Okay? And the one last thing that I have before we get to Ms. Buffy, which I'm excited about and ready to talk savings, is the BAFTA Awards. Tanya Lodge wins the BAFTA for makeup and hair. And this year's British Academy Television Craft Awards, better known as BAFTA, Tanya Lodge took home the award for excellence in makeup and hair design for her work on the television show Black Mirror. Lodge has been working on the film industry for over a decade. This award was proudly sponsored by Makeup Artist Magazine, and this is a first-time sponsorship for them, as well as MAC Cosmetics, who was sponsored before. The ceremony was held Sunday, April 23rd, at the Brewery in London. Makeup Artist Magazine's publisher, Michael Key, was in attendance. The nominees for the makeup and hair design category represented a range of period makeup and hair designs. The episode of Black Mirror, which the award was received for, received critical acclaim. It's from the third season of the science fiction series and takes place in 1987 in a beach resort town. Some of Lodge's other works include Kill Your Friends, Kill Your Friends, 100 Streets, and numerous episodes of the TV shows Misfits and Off the Hook. The other makeup and hair design nominees were Jacqueline Fowler for War and Peace, Nick Collins for Victoria and Vanessa White, Flora Shuler, and Neil Gorton for Tracy Ullman's Show. Makeup Artist Magazine was honored to be a part of the Craft Awards this year and will continue to look for ways to support, develop, and promote makeup artistry, which they do so well. The Makeup Artist Magazine has been acknowledging and educating makeup artists for more than 20 years. Every year, the magazine brings together thousands of makeup artists, exhibitors, and enthusiasts for the International Makeup Artist Trade Show, IMATS. For more information on IMATS, you can go to their website, imats.net. That's IMATS.net. And the next show coming up will be May 19th through May 21st in London. They will have a pro night on Friday, May 19th, from 3 to 7 p.m., and the show opens up on Saturday morning to the public and professionals, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and on Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So there you have it for this week's news.
All right. Thank you very much. And as I said at the top of the show, we have Buffy Purcell back on with us tonight. This is part one of a three-part series on business. So we're going to bring other guests within the next few weeks that's going to help us beauty professionals with business, stuff that we don't really want to take care of all the time. So I'm going to bring Buffy on the show. Welcome back to the show, Buffy.
Hi. How are you?
How are you? Good.
I'm good. so excited
glad
to talk about my favorite thing,
tonight.
Saving.
Oh, I know. I can't wait. glad to have you back on. You survived the tax season?
Barely. You know, it's tax season for us until the extension deadline, October 15th. But, yes, I'm
I
alive.
Know. I know. Have you had many people filing extensions this year?
Yeah, we probably filed about 700 extensions in my office this year. And I think a lot of people didn't file timely this year just because there's a lot of uncertainty, you know, with the new administration and, you know, people just, you know, are concerned, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's understandable.
Speaking of the new administration, but I want to talk about that new tax plan, which has some to do with taxes, but with savings. But I'll wait till I'm asked.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about it now because, you know, we can kind of talk about the tax plan and then ease our way into savings. So you go right ahead.
Yes. So everyone, you should be really concerned. First of all, we were presented, and when I say we, the media and tax professionals, were presented with a one-page outline for sweeping tax reform in this country. And as a tax professional, and, you know, Janice, you can understand, given your background also, we're used to getting 2,000 to 3,000 pages each tax season of new tax codes to digest and fully understand. And we were presented with this one-page summary, and it's just so ambiguous. And that's what scares me. It's like, yeah, we're going to cut the corporate tax rate from 35% to 15%, but you don't really explain what type of business has that type of tax break. You know what I mean? And so small mom and pop shops think that that's going to be extended to them, and where they kind of maybe say, we are considering doing that, it's not outlined that they are. And then the other problem is, you know, something that I think a lot of people miss is they say we're basically getting rid of every tax deduction for individuals with the exception of the mortgage interest tax deduction, without you can still take a deduction for making charitable contributions and for investing in a 401k. Well, what does that mean? That's terrifying. You then say we're going to give everyone the standard deduction times two. Well, people who are used to getting payable credits like the earned income tax credit, free money, they ain't worried about getting a double standard deduction because they're not paying in any tax. And what is that going to do to our economy, right? Everyone doesn't own a home. This is all weighted for the rich. We're getting rid of the alternative minimum tax. The majority of Americans don't even know what that is and aren't even affected by it. And I'm really scared that the way they're going to pay for this plan is by getting rid of the earned income tax credit. I really am, because that's what they're not saying. And that's how they pay for it, because that's billions of dollars a year, the money that most people get during tax season for, you know, caring for dependent children. So all y'all, please read, please write your Congress people, please stay involved, because these are scary, scary times. And I'll be honest, people like me, I'm going to do all right with this plan. You know, I own businesses that are profitable, but some of my clients will not. And so I'm very, very concerned. Yeah.
Wow.
That was a lot.
With that being said, what do we do? You know, for those of us with businesses, for those of us, like you were talking about the earned income credit, for those who get the earned income credit, like that's a big portion of what they get back when they do their taxes. What should they be doing?
I would say immediately. Right. Yeah, I know, and that's a great question. We need to be proactive because I'm telling you that is definitely – they're not saying it, and that's the only way they can pay it. I think they're dangling, and I'll get to the question quickly, but I think they're dangling this we're going to take the state and local refund credit that people get for writing off how much they pay in itemized deduction. But, again, that's toward the wealthy, and I think they dangle that in front of the liberals, and they say – well, we'll give you that back, but we're going to get rid of this earned income tax credit. And so the people that should be worried, the folks who get $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 tax refunds a year because they have dependent children and their income is under a certain threshold, I think that you need to change your withholdings. You need to start trying to pay a little bit more tax in, and I know that's a daunting task. And if you don't, you should not bank on receiving this big refund because, you know, a lot of people, real talk, count that into their annual income budget. I mean, and somebody that makes $30,000 a year and gets an $8,000 tax refund, they consider themselves making $38,000 a year. They just do. And you're going to have to change that mindset. And for years, I've been trying to urge my clients in my practice at all income levels not to use your tax refund as a savings account because it's not. That's letting the government hold your money interest-free all year. And then you're at the whim of whoever is in office. The other thing is we need to vote, y'all. I mean, I know y'all hear this all the time, but we do have power. And if we get out and we elect these people who enact these laws and carry out these wishes of these politicians, and, you know, we've got to vote. I mean, especially to vote who are going to be hurt by this.
Right.
And so, you know, we've got to be vigilant. We've got to, like, get out there and write letters. We've got to blow up their phones. We've got to call. These things actually work because politicians want to keep their seats, and that's how you get meaningful change when you put pressure on them.
Wow.
And I mean, I don't want to terrify everyone, but in a way I do, because we need to wake up. These are scary times. And this, you know, the new administration is not really, they don't have the pulse of the real people. I mean, we've got a billionaire who's running the country right now. How could he possibly understand the lifestyle of someone that makes under $50,000 a year? They cannot. For them to think that we're going to keep the mortgage interest tax deduction and that make everybody happy. No, everybody doesn't own a house. And so that alone tells me they have no idea what real people's struggles are, how they get by every day. And, you know, they don't care. That's just the reality. And so we got to take care of ourselves. And that means we're going to have to hustle hard. We have to get a second job to supplement that income that we get from that refund that we're used to. I think we need to wake up and realize that we're in trying times because we are. And it's not going to get better. It's just not under this current administration in my belief. I just don't. They don't care about regular people. And when you own a small business, when he says he's trying to help, they say they're trying to help corporations. They're not talking about small mom and pop shops. They're talking about billion-dollar companies. And so you need to be mindful of that.
Okay, so beauty professionals, and, you know, that's a large group of people. You know, you have your makeup artist, hairstylist, a massage therapist, you know, nail techs, you name it. A lot of them just go from job to job to job. Some go from job to job to job as well as they have their own business. So keeping that in mind, why is it important? Number one, I'm going to ask several questions.
Sure.
But one, why is it important for beauty professionals to save? Two, listening to everything that you just said, for that particular beauty professional who goes from job, you know, when I say go to job to job to job, I don't mean like, you know, they're working all the time. I just mean, you know, one day job or a 2 day job or whatever it is, and then they have to go find another job. For the professional who does that, as well as, for instance, let's say a hairstylist who has a hair salon, considering everything that you just told us, one, why is it important for beauty professionals to save? Two, a beauty professional like that, what should they be thinking of? Because, you know, now they have a business as well. And then three, how does beauty professionals out here, how do we weather financial storms?
Great questions. Okay. And I may not do them all in order. I'm going to start with the how do we weather financial storms, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Saving is the key to weathering financial storms. And I know that sounds weird. But it is, because when you have a year or two or 10 of what it costs you to be you in a bank account, in a money market account, under your pillow, anywhere, that enables you to weather financial storms. That enables a professional makeup artist to say, you know what, my mom's sick right now. I'm only going to work on a few projects this year because, you know, worst case scenario, I can rely on these savings. or if you live in a state where the film community leaves because, you know, the governor decides that the credit isn't worth it anymore and all the work dries up, you don't freak out because you have savings. And I know that's it's like, okay, well, that's easier said than done. It's not, because this is what you have to do. You have to change your mindset about saving. You know, when you say that beauty professionals work from gig to gig to gig, and actually it's very common right now in all industries, they call it the gig economy, quite honestly, because there are no good jobs out there. And so a lot of people work contract work, and they go from one job to another, and they may have some self-employed, a lot of graphic designers, like it's across the board. And so a lot of people don't have 401k or traditional retirement plans set up. And so it's increasingly imperative for self-employed freelancers, specifically beauty professionals, because I deal with a lot of you guys in my practice, to change your mindset about saving. You need to think of it as a bill. Because even though you may not work consistently, you manage to pay your bills somehow. And so if you think of saving as your first bill instead of, oh, I'll do it if I have some extra, then you will make it a priority and you will build up that money so that if something happens, you can weather a financial storm. I honestly do not understand how people lose a job, go on unemployment, and it runs out, and they have no savings, and how they survive. Like, how do you when you don't have, how is it even possible to, I couldn't imagine the level of stress. And so it's unnecessary, because the reality is we can bust our behinds and work hard and put a plan together. Like, the first step is to just say, this is what it cost me to be me, and this is my short-term goal. And you know what? I'm a day play till I can't if I don't have consistent work, so that I can meet my financial goal and save. And then I'm not touching that money unless I'm about to get evicted or I'm going to lose my house or, you know, some catastrophic thing. You said, why is it important for a beauty professional to save? Because ain't nobody trying to stand in front of the chair the rest of their life or behind it or even sit in it. And so you need to start thinking about that. Like, when do you want to retire? The average age for a beauty professional to retire is around, some 55 if they work in a union because you contributed toward a pension, or later if you're truly self-employed, around 65. But the reality is, do you see yourself wanting to work that long, standing on your feet? You just have to think about that. And if you do, then you'll put a plan together so that you don't have to work that long. A lot of people don't have that discussion with themselves, like, when am I going to retire, you know? When do I want to be able to relax and maybe just say, I'm only going to work on period pieces because that's what I'm interested in? Wouldn't that be an amazing world? You know what I mean? Instead of, I got to take everything that comes to me. Every time they call me, I'm going to take the job, regardless of whatever's going on in my life. And the key to getting rid of all that stress is to save. That's all. Earn, save, repeat. That's it. Do it for a specified time frame. And I'm not saying you can't ever ball. You can't ever go on holiday. You can't ever buy a pair of loops. You can, but you need a budget for it. And so beauty professionals, you know you're not trying to stand in front of a chair forever. Even if you love it, it's just not possible. And so you've got to say tonight with us that you're going to really have a meaningful discussion with your family, because you cannot do it yourself. If you shacking with somebody, if you marry, if you got a partner, if you got a roommate, that's, if you commingle your funds with somebody else in your household, you have to discuss it together, throw you off of your plan. And you need to put this plan together and work your butt off to achieve it. If it takes you 2 years of grinding, who cares? Who cares?
Right.
Get it over with. Because the later you wait, the more you're going to have to save. So if you're in your 30s, experts say you can save about 10 to 15% of your annual income a year, and you may be okay by retirement age. If you're in your 40s, you're going to have to save 30%. That's a lot. And if you wait till your 50s, you're going to be more in the 45 to half of what you make having to save to try to, you know, meet your goal. The good thing about being self-employed, and y'all stop me at any time because clearly this is a topic that I'm very passionate about. And I can wax on
the
whole hour about it. But the other good thing about being self-employed is, and I try to tell my clients always this too, wherever possible, save and take a tax deduction for it. Get two benefits from it. You know, if you're going to, you know, be like, crap, I can't go shopping, I can't take my kids on holiday 3-4 times a year, I can't, you know, do all this stuff, at least get some financial benefit other than this long-term goal of having this money put away. And so self-employed people can catch up their savings rather easily. You can use plans like a simplified employee pension, a SEP IRA, where depending upon what your income is, you can save as much as $53,000 a year. I'm going to say that one more time. You can save as much as $53,000 a year and take a tax deduction for it. Your business can take a line item tax deduction and write off $53,000 that you made for just putting it into another account. That money's not gone. It's in another account that you shouldn't touch, but if something pops off and you need the money, you can get it. You'll have to pay a tax consequence for it, but who cares? You get to write off $53,000, which reduces your taxable liability, which puts more money in your pocket, for saving. Why on earth is not – why isn't everybody doing that that looks like us that are in this industry specifically? Because I know how much y'all make. Y'all make tons of money, tons.
Well,
and some of y'all can do
it. Work too.
You're right. You're right. I'm going to take a breath, y'all.
Because if you're not working a lot, then you're not making any money at all. Some people may be barely making it.
True.
But that's
those
another
people
conversation.
Also, that is another conversation. But, you know, those people also, and I'll just say, those people also need to realize, again, what type of economy we live in right now. And, you know, I think a lot of people are killing themselves with unnecessary stress because we are so vested in making everybody think that we're balling, that we will refuse to save so we can have peace of mind. And
mm-hmm.
I just fundamentally, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm agreeing with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think people don't understand math. I think and I hear it all the time from creatives, oh, that side of the brain doesn't work. Yes, it does. You know that if you got $2 and you want to buy something that costs $3, you can't afford it, right? But somehow people figure out how to get that item that costs $3, and you justify whatever you have to do to get that other dollar to buy this item because you just can't let people know that you don't have that money. And the minute that you truly not care what other people think about you, the sky will be the limit in your life. It really will. The minute you don't care that so-and-so got a new Lexus or Benz or whatever, or their kids at some private school and yours aren't, or they went to Honolulu, the minute you don't care about that stuff, the minute you stop looking at Instagram and comparing your life to these fake stories that people are putting on Instagram, you will get control of your finances. You will be able to save at ethic levels, and you will have a happy life.
Now say that again about the fake stories.
Oh, my gosh. Instagram, I swear to God, like I used to quote the Joneses, it's the Instagram Joneses rich, and they are not rich. They as broke as you are, probably worse, because they depict this picture of this life that is not attainable. It's just not, unless you're Beyonce or Bill Gates, somebody. And quite honestly, those people, they don't, the fraction, when you see them on a jet or a boat or somewhere, that the percentage of their annual income that they're spending, if they're spending it at all, so minute, it's so small. But then I have clients who make $50,000 a year, and I swear I see them in my office every time I see them with a new outfit on, Birkin, and I'm just like, how and why? Why are you wearing your outfit on your ass? It's ridiculous.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
Wow.
I was going to say, you know, as a tax professional, you know, you see your clients, you see the money that they make, and then, like you said, you see some of their assets, some of their possessions, what they have. I feel like, and you're right, you know, people tell all of their business and show all of their business on Instagram. People are going around driving cars that, you know what, you're really not ready for that right now. Moving into places that really they really can't afford to be there. Like I said, new outfits and things. And I'm not here to tell people what to do with their money, but we are talking about savings. So, you know, when you see clients like that, do you say anything to them? Do you offer them any advice? And then what can you say to beauty professionals out there who are like that? Because some people are so busy trying to impress other people
you know, or keep up with other people and really don't realize that those people, the reason why they work all the time is because they have to, because they really can't afford the things that they have. So what do you say to clients and how do you tell them, like, look, you need to cut this out and you need to get on a savings plan?
Yeah, one of the differences in my practice is definitely that it's more of a family atmosphere and that I'm going to get up all in your business and that I treat my clients like they're members of my family. So if I see how much you earn a year and I see that you're not contributing to a 401k and I see that, you know, it's from a company that I know will do matching, I'm going to check you on it immediately. I'm going to say, why are you not contributing to a 401k when your employer will contribute, and you can then not have to pay tax on $18,000 of the money you made this year. That's silly. Why did you buy this? We know everything. Let me just tell you. And it's another little secret that people don't know about. Oh, TurboTax is free and it's great. No, it's not free. They sell your information. These companies sell your information. And so we know everything. I know what kind of house you have. I know what kind of car you drive. Because if you itemize, you provide us with all that information. And I'm never going to tell my clients that they shouldn't have their heart's desires. But if you come in my office and you're complaining and saying, I don't know where the money went, then you open the door for me to tell you where it went. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to be brutally honest, because we don't have time to play around. And I'm never going to tell somebody that you should just work yourself to the bone and save and never have any fun in your life, because that's crazy. I would never say that. You know, my book is called Crawl Before You Ball, not crawl and limp to a horrible death and never have fun. But, you know, you just have to budget for the fun stuff. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, the first thing I say is, what are your goals? What is it you want to do? And 9 out of 10 of the time, people just, you know, everybody thinks everybody wants to drive a Bentley and do all this stuff. No, they don't. Most people just want to own a home. They want to be able to send their kids to a good school. They want to have adequate savings so that if something comes up, they can take care of it or help somebody in their family. And they want to be able to go on holiday once a year. That's really what most people want. And I think that that's achievable at any price, at any income level. There may be some very significant changes that you have to make in your life to achieve that, but I really fundamentally believe people can do it. I've had people come in, well, I'm a beauty professional and I'm just starting out and I don't really have a lot of clients and I only make $20,000 a year. Well, guess what? You might need to go home and live with mom and them for a bit. Or you might need to live with a couple of your colleagues. Y'all need to rent a house and y'all all live together like some other cultures do until you can afford to live on your own. There are ways to do it. It may not be what you like. You may need to sell that car and you may need to rent MARTA. You may need to figure out some way so that you can achieve your goals, and it may not look sexy and it may not be fun and folks might want to run their mouth about it, but who cares? You need to have a goal and do whatever you can to achieve that goal and block out all the other noise. And yes, in my practice, trust me, my clients routinely say on social media, on Google, everywhere, we love her, but our annual meeting with her is like a fight. But it's because I care. Because if I didn't care, I would just crunch the numbers and say, thank you, give my $500, and I'll see you next year. But I care.
Right.
Because I don't want everybody to kill themselves working, kill themselves trying to show off. For what? Because those people don't care about you. They're going to talk about you when you're doing well anyway. So you might as well be real.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you mentioned 401k. Now, you know, for my sister and I, we're part of a union, so we have access to things like that and different savings options being a part of the union. But for those artists out there who, you know, they go, they work on a photo shoot, they may do makeup or hair for fashion shows, it's really not attached to an entity that is able to, you know, have them on, like, payroll and they're able to get, you know, insurance and things like that. What are some of the saving options out there for beauty professionals?
So that's a great question. So, you know, straight away, I always feel like beauty professionals, whether you do the majority of your work through the union or not, need to create a company. Because, like you said, there will come up some work, you know, a poster, or, you know, you may decide to do a wedding or something that's not union related, that you'll be paid as a contractor, which, you know, a lot of people don't think that when they have significant wage-based pay, meaning they work in a union or get a W-2, and then they do some freelance on the side, that means that they're self-employed, but you are still self-employed. And so you should set up, you should create a company, the first step, so you can maximize your tax deductions. And then also when you set up the company, you can set up, you know, you can get 401k and all these things through the union, but if you're an entrepreneur and you set up a company, you can set up a solo 401k for yourself under your business. You can do the same product. You can also do the steps that I mentioned before, where you can, you know, do some catch up and you can save as much as $53,000 a year. I'm not saying you have to do the full amount, but you have that as an option. And so the same products
right.
are available to entrepreneurs that are available in the marketplace for, you know, rather big companies and also in the union. And I know it's a daunting task, and I know people think, well, if I'm, you know, just starting and maybe not working in a union and I don't have consistent work, how on earth will I do it? And like I said before, you have to make it a priority. That's just it. There's no, it's not an easy thing. You're going to have to, the first bill I pay every month is savings. And, you know, you have to. And no matter how much you have in it, for me, what happens is it becomes your new normal. And I was not always like this. Let me just say this right now and get off my high horse. Like, I just know it all. I was a hot mess when I was in my 20s. I was flying to London to get my hair done because I had all these businesses, was making a whole bunch of money, and I was balling out of control. And then 2008 happened. I owned a mortgage company. And 2008 happened, and everything went to hell. And then I was forced to realize that, oh, I don't have this money tree in my backyard anymore. I've got to figure some things out. And so when I say this stuff, I'm speaking from experience. You know, I had a whole closet and room full of all the shoes that I could ever need in my life, but no money in the bank account. And so when you hit ground zero and you're stressed about money, you reevaluate your life and you get yourself together. And I just don't want people to have to go through that unnecessarily, because it's not necessary. Just, you know, you've got to make savings a priority and quit acting like the word save. It is a four-letter word, but it ain't a four-letter word. People are just crazy. They're like, save. They're like, I said a curse word. It's not. It's not.
So you mentioned 2008, and so I think about 2008 for us in this industry, at least for those people who are union, you know, in 2008 we went through a writer's strike, and so that kind of shut down business, so to speak. So now we're on the verge of a writer's strike again. Actually, we will know tomorrow morning. The WGA,
yeah, I've been following that.
They have until midnight tonight, I think it is. So what can we do if that happens? You know, history shows that the strikes have lasted, at least the seven times they had a strike, you know, strikes have lasted 3 months. So if that happens, which I'm praying it doesn't, but if that happens, if we haven't been saving already, I'm almost answering my question. I almost don't even want to ask it. But if we haven't been saving already, is there anything that we can do?
Yes, and I always
I feel
say
like
this.
I'm okay, but I'm asking for everybody
look,
else.
I know you, and I know you are okay. So, but you've done your due diligence. You know, you've done what you're supposed to do. You guys have done what you're supposed to do. But you know, there's always an answer. If you lose your job or your job is on hiatus, create one for yourself. Get out there and hustle. You're talented people.
Right.
You have skills that other people don't have. And you may have to go back to a CNN. You may have to do some weddings. You may have to, if I call you and say, I got to do something at the last minute, come help me do it. Grace does my makeup. But I'm just saying, you know, you may have to take on some gigs that you normally wouldn't to survive. And there's nothing wrong with that. At all. That's hustling, that's grinding, that's doing what you're supposed to do. And so if you don't have savings, you don't have the freedom to say, you know what, I'm going to chill for 3 months and go on vacation because I can pay what it costs me to be me during this time, and I'm not sweating bullets and I'm not at the whim of what's going to happen, you know, at midnight tonight. And unfortunately, most people don't have savings. And so you may have to work. And then worst case scenario, child file for unemployment. That's what it's there for. There's nothing wrong with that. I get so many film and TV creatives and beauty professionals who come in my office who are like, oh, I had to file for unemployment. I'm like, what? You pay it. Who cares? That's what it's there
right.
for. Use that it's not anything shameful about it. Your industry is up and down. Right. You've got to survive. And so if you don't have savings, all of sales, go file for unemployment. There's nothing wrong with that. Make sure you have taxes withheld, though. Do not take it behind in there and say, I'm exempt. Make sure you
pay
taxes.
Federal.
Yep. Both.
That's right.
Exactly. Because you will be in a hot mess when you come see us.
Let me say this. So, my sister mentioned the 2008 with the strike. So in 2008 there was the strike. So I didn't work as much, here and there, but not really as much, in the film and TV industry. 2009 rolls around, work is picking up a little bit. My car gets totaled. Somebody hits my car, totals my car. There was no unemployment because I really didn't work the year before. Thanks be to God, I've always been smart enough to save. So that nice account that I had, now I'm starting to dip in this account. But I feel like at that time I was feeling like everything needed my money. You know what I mean? Like, you're not working, so you still have, a few bills. Then the car gets totaled, so now if I'm going to work, I need my car.
Right.
So the great thing about the car, it wasn't great, but the good thing about the car being totaled was that I paid the car off like a year early. So the amount of money that they gave me for the car was a great amount to put down, on another car. Long story short, when situations like that happen and it pretty much takes everything that you have, and so this savings that you spent all this time, putting money aside to save is now gone, you don't have unemployment, how does one kind of pick up the pieces from something like that and rebuild in terms of saving?
So you're going to have to work.
That's why your 401k is important too. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Right. If you have the 401k, then yeah, you can borrow against it. I'm always a proponent of borrowing against it before you actually take a distribution, because you won't create a taxable event. And what that means in tax speak is, if you take a loan against your 401k, you can get the money without a tax consequence. And so you just are paying yourself back. If you take a full distribution, then you're going to have a tax consequence, meaning you'll probably owe money, even if you have money taken out on the front end. But the thing that they forget to tell you is you may pay the penalty when you elect to have the taxes taken out when you take a distribution, but then you have to also account for the fact that that income then grosses up your adjusted gross income. So you have to pay income tax. But, you were talking about Murphy's Law. These things happen. It seems always it's like that. If you are not working and you have significant savings, that, that's when the water heater goes out in your house, or, your car breaks down. It just always happens. And it's just funny how quickly that money will disappear. And it can be depressing. But, for me, that's why it was there. You're not dipping into it while you're still working. You had a significant time period where you weren't able to work, and that's why you saved. And thank God you had those savings.
Right.
And you just
have
to, when you get back, and don't beat yourself up about it. That's what it's there for.
Right.
And when you start working again, get back to saving.
Rebuild.
That's your first priority. Rebuild. Don't beat yourself up about it. Quit lamenting that, oh, my God, how this money is gone. Thank God you saved it, because what the heck would happen if you didn't have it? And, just regroup and double up your efforts. And, again, they play so you can't between jobs and get the savings back to the level or exceed the level that you had before you had to deplete it. The good thing is it's just money. We make more of it every day.
That's it.
We do. It's as simple as
right.
that.
Right, absolutely.
Don't get discouraged. And don't beat yourself up. I have so many clients who I spent all that money, and if it's in a situation where you can't work, then that's what it's for. I get on to my clients who are able-bodied and can work, who dip in their savings. That's a different thing.
Right, that's what it's there for.
Right. soul. It gives you freedom. It's there to help you with peace of mind so that, you know, when this stuff happens, well, I have, you know, an alternative. I don't want to touch my savings, but it's there, and so I don't have to stress. And so many people are killing themselves with all this stress over money.
Yeah,
and it's
over money. It's ridiculous.
Over money.
It really is.
It's unnecessary. It really is. I'll wear the same outfit every day before I lose sleep at night about some darn money.
Right.
I can't.
Right.
No.
Right.
I'll move in with my mama before, or my sister, so that we can, you know, save equally and contribute, you know, and cut my costs on housing, which is most people's huge, largest expense, before I lose sleep about some money.
That's true. Speaking of housing, for those freelancers out there who are interested in purchasing a house, how would you suggest them to start saving? Like, if there's a savings plan that they should be on, you know, what are some of the steps that they should be taking in regards to saving when wanting to purchase a house?
I'm so happy you asked this question because it was something in my list of things I wanted to discuss. Number one. When you want to buy a house, make sure the first thing, and before even credit, that you have filed all your tax returns. I'm going to say that one more time. Make sure that you have filed all of your tax returns, and make sure that the last two tax returns, you showed a profit. If you wrote off everything under the sun, you're not ready to buy a house. And so this process begins 2 to 3 years before you're really able to do it. Because a lot of self-employed people write off everything under the sun because legitimately mm-hmm. you have a lot of ordinary business expenses, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You're running a tax-efficient business. But when you need to show income, you ain't going to be able to do all that when you want to buy a house because, again, I own the mortgage brokerage firm, and what underwriters are looking for is the final number after expenses. And so you may have made $200,000, but if you wrote off $130,000, you didn't make $200,000. And we're not going to use that number to qualify you for that mortgage. And so that's the first thing you need to understand. The second thing is you need to look at your credit. You need to pull your credit. You need to make sure that there are no errors. And if there are some issues, you need to begin the process to work on them. And now you didn't mess up your credit overnight. It took a while. So it's going to take a while to fix it, right? Credit is demonstrating that you can repay debt over time. And all this tomfoolery, these people talking about using the CPN number and all this mess going to land you in jail when all you need to do is pull all three credit bureaus, review the reports, dispute things that aren't true, actively try to pay your debt down where applicable. Because some stuff, if it's really old and it's about to fall off your credit reports, you don't need to touch it because that's just going to make those scores bad again. And this is a whole other discussion on credit, and I'm happy to have it with y'all. But you need to put a plan together to work on your credit. Don't all this credit repair and paying all these people all this money. You could use that same $1,500 you paid this credit repair place and paid down some of your debt. It's just silly. You can do it yourself. And, you know, all it is reading. It's, what do they say? If you want to keep something away from people, put it in a book. All y'all got to do is read. Pull these reports. Oftentimes you can do it for free. And clean it up yourself. And realize that if there's a plan, it's not going to – see, we want everything overnight. That doesn't happen in the real world. If you weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth and you have a trust fund, it's not going to happen. But that doesn't mean you won't ever buy a house. And so when you're okay with it taking a little bit of time, you will achieve your goal. So file your tax returns. Make sure you're showing a profit if legitimately you have one. Check your credit. And then you should be saving anyway because we've been talking about that. But if you don't have a lot of savings, there's this fantastic government organization called NACA. Have y'all heard about it?
You said NACA?
Uh-huh, and I'll send y'all a link after the call, and you can put it up on your site and stuff. But basically, they work with people who want to buy homes who don't necessarily have the best credit scores and who don't necessarily have a lot in the way of savings. The thing about this program is you have to go through a series of classes to learn about financial literacy, which, hey, we all need to learn about that. They will sit down with you, the advisors in this program, and go over your credit report. And if you're not at a point at which you're ready to purchase a home, they'll tell you the things step by step that you need to do to qualify. And it's a free government program. the other brilliant thing about this program is they actually they underwrite loans. And so you can, I've had clients who qualified for 30-year fixed rates at 2 and 3% under this program. And I've seen the settlement statements. I've seen their mortgage statements. I mean, there's some other, you know, things that you have to do, like you must live in the house. You can't rent it out and stuff like that. But, and, you know, I hear people say, well, that's too many hoops to jump through. If somebody going to let me get in the house by putting down only 3% instead of 10 or no money sometimes at a very low interest rate, which means that I'm paying less than I paid when I was paying rent to own my own home, then I'm going to jump through every hoop them people tell me to jump through so I can get my house. And so it's a resource that a lot of people don't know about that is available. And, yes, they have wait lists. So what? Again, that's, you know, understanding that things are a process and things take time. Get on the wait list. And when they call you, jump, go to the meeting, and do what those people say. I have so many clients who've gone through this program and are so happy and thought that they would never be able to own a home who own homes, and they're affordable because of this program. So it's not unheard of. You can do it. There are a lot of resources available to us, but, again, we don't read. We need to read. We need to consult professionals about it. And this program is free. So why are you going to go pay some credit repair place and you go to a government organization that's going to tell you this is what you need to do, and when you do it, I'll give you a loan? That doesn't make sense to me, right?
Right.
And you know what? Buying a house is another form of saving, because when you own a home, that's an appreciating asset. And so when you're paying a mortgage, you're paying into something you own, and you can borrow against it and take a tax deduction for it, or one day you can sell it. And, you know, you can sell a house if you're a single person and make as much as $250,000 in profit on the sale of that house, as long as you live in that house for two of the last 3 years and not pay a dime in taxes on your money. Why would you not do that? Brilliant. If I was a young person, I would buy a house. I would buy a house, live in the house for 3 years, fix that house up, sell it, then buy another house and just stack my money away. That's what other people do. That's what other people do. Why can't we? Right?
That's right. Well, let me ask you, I want to go back just a little bit. You were saying, as far as, you know, trying to buy a house, your last 2 years of tax returns, you should show a profit. Now, is there, like, because you used an example, if you make $200,000 and you're writing off, like, over $100,000+, is there a limit to how much you can write off?
Good question.
And still show a profit?
So this is the simple answer to that. You need to write off whatever ordinary business expenses you have associated with your company, right? But when you buy a house, and I don't want to give people the impression I'm talking about cooking the books, but, you know, let's just be honest. Most people deduct everything under the sun when they own a business. And oftentimes, legitimately, they can. But when you want to purchase a home, you've got to be cognizant that you have to demonstrate to a bank that you have the money to repay this loan. And so they're not going to look at the top number. They're going to look at after-deduction income. And so you've got to, you know, ease up on that. You know, the other thing is, you know, the IRS will, you know, allow you to, you know, write off everything under the sun and maybe show a loss for your business for about 3 good years. And so they call you in and say, look, this is a hobby. Because nobody would keep doing this if you're not making money. So either way, the jig is going to be up on claiming all those deductions anyway. So, you know, you kind of you just need to be mindful of that. And so to answer your question, no, there's no limit. I mean, if you have a business and you made $500,000 and you legitimately spent $600,000 because you had to invest $100,000 of your personal money into the business, then that's what happens. That happens in big corporations every day. And it could happen in a small business. But guess what? If that happened to you, you're not ready to buy a house. You know, and you don't want to get into a house if you really can't afford it anyway, because you ain't going to be able to call the landlord and say, my radiator isn't working, or the heat and the air conditioning isn't working. You become the landlord and you have to fix it yourself, or you're going to be sitting in that house hot this summer. So you really need to not set yourself up for failure. You know, something else I want to say, because I see I have run my mouth for an hour, is that, you know, don't despair about this new tax law and all the stuff that's coming. We need to, you know, be mindful of it and pay attention and read. But I'm going to tell you one thing. All of my beauty professionals, all my film and TV creatives, if that administration really is able to change that corporate tax rate from 35% to 15%, guess what? I'm going to make all y'all set up C corporations. Because why not? Why shouldn't y'all take credit, take advantage of tax law just like everybody else does? So don't despair. There are ways to use tax law to your advantage as well. Make sure you find somebody like me and Buffett Tax Heirs LLC and the Creative Artist Group and companies that actually work with people in your industry and understand your line of work and your deductions and the ebb and flow of your business. But, you know, I'm paying attention so that I can figure out ways to make sure that my small, medium, and big business owners, as well as my individuals who freelance occasionally, can benefit from this new tax plan.
So, Buffett, just very quickly, speak a little more about how important investing is to saving.
So I have a different frame of mind on that. I don't think you're ready to invest until you have a minimum of 5 years of what I call what it costs you to be you money. Because you're not ready to play around with the stock market, and, you know, you just don't have it like that. A lot of people disagree with me on that. They think, oh, you should, you know, get into the markets and do all that stuff. And, I mean, I know there's things like mutual funds that are and bonds that are very safe. But I just think you got to crawl before you ball. And, you know, if we don't even have money under the mattress yet, we ain't ready to invest in Tesla and all these other stuff, right? And so let's start first with baby steps. Let's try to save some money in a savings account, then a money market account. Then let's make sure we maximize our 401k. And when we have enough money where we know we don't have to worry if something happens, then we can start investing into the market.
Should we have more than one savings? Like, should we max out at a certain amount in one savings and start another?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you have a certain amount of money, you definitely want to put up the money in like a money market account so that you can, and that's still safe. And that's kind of, like I said, crawling before you ball. We start with a regular savings account, which they really don't pay much. But when you, you know, get to, you know, you got like $10,000 saved, you might want to think, I want to make a little bit more money off that and put it into a money market account. And then after that, after we've maxed out our 401k, and we've our new normal is that we pay ourselves first and we save, that's when you can, you know, meet with the broker and start having a meaningful discussion about diversifying your portfolio, meaning having your money in a lot of different pots. So when one isn't doing well, the other will take up a slack.
Gotcha.
But first, let's put the money under the pillowcase, then in the savings account. Let's crawl.
Right.
Before we jump out into the market. Because we ain't got it like that quite yet. You know, nothing wrong with how grandma saved. My grandma used to keep money in the chicken coop. My grandma was a farmer. And no lie, they had like $20,000 in the chicken coop. Like, it was still there. You know?
Wow.
You know, it was there.
The important thing is that you start, you know, that you just do it.
That's a very good point. Tomorrow morning at 5:45, when my trainer rings the doorbell at my house, I'm going to cuss, but I'm going to get my butt up, and I'm going to work out. You know why? It's hard to start, but 15 minutes into working out, I feel great, and it's just starting. Mm-hmm. Get up, put a plan together, and get it going. And saving is no different than working out. You will feel great when you know you've got some money put up somewhere. You'll walk taller. You'll look at your kids like you're a success and you don't feel like a failure. It helps your self-esteem. It cures depression. It gives you opportunity to say, no, I'm not going to take that job because you have savings. I'm telling you, it's better than Xanax. You need to save, and you need to start on it today. It is. Think about how powerful that is. Like, no, I ain't doing that project. Because I'm good. And when you have savings, guess what? Your credit scores will be better because you got money to pay your bills.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Absolutely. And it helps to keep your bills low as well.
Correct. You know what? That's another thing why you don't want to buy a house until you get your credit right, because somebody who has better credit will pay less over a 30-year loan than somebody who has bad credit who buys a house. So why would you set yourself up for failure? The two people could buy the same house, and the person with bad credit is going to pay a higher mortgage than the person with good credit. And to me, that means I'm not ready to buy my house yet until I get my credit in order. And that doesn't mean I'm going to do some tomfoolery and pay somebody at work at Equifax to do some shady stuff that may land me up in jail. It means I'm going to take 2 years, and I'm going to work my butt off to get my scores better, and then I'll buy a house. When we understand
right.
that we things take time and there's a process, everything changes. We can't have everything overnight. You just can't. I call it participation trophy mentality. You know those kids that sit on the bench all year on the basketball team, and then they have a party at the end of the year, and they give all the kids a trophy. And I'm like, why? Oh, they showed up. Well, you're creating this culture of people who believe that just because they showed up, they deserve. No. You got to put work in. That's just the reality. It is.
Listen, last question, and okay. this question is about credit, and you know, it just means that we're going to have to get you back on at some point down the road to talk about credit. But
I'd be happy to.
What's a great credit score when you want to buy a house? And what's
800.
What's the credit 800? And then what's
yeah,
the credit score?
Like 680. No, go ahead.
But what's a credit score where you should be saying, okay, I really need to work on this?
I think anything under a 620, you need to work on it. You know, if you have a 780 or above, you're good. You're considered, that's considered great credit. You're going to be offered the lowest interest rate.
You said 720?
No, so I said 780. A lot of people say 720.
Oh,
780. I say 780. Yeah, I'm a little bit tougher on that just because it's just a threshold where you get, like, the cheaper you can get money, the better. And so, you know, 680 to 720 is good credit, and you'll get competitive rates. But when you get to a 780 or higher, it's a whole nother world. People throwing stuff at you for little to very little interest at all. And so, you know, and it's not really that hard, y'all. It's not. To work on your credit, it's just not. And so if you have anything under, like I said, of 620, 680, you need to work on it. And that doesn't mean hiring some company. That means getting an Experian app. They have these little Experian app, they have a thing where you can run scenarios, and it'll tell you if you pay these things off in the next 6 months, this is what your scores will go to. And I highly recommend utilizing that stuff. And, you know, those programs may cost you $10 a month. It ain't $1,500 that you're paying somebody to repair, quote-unquote, your credit. It's not about repair. It's about fixing prior bad credit issues and demonstrating that you can repay debt over time. The other thing is, and I know I don't have much time, don't just think I got $20,000 worth of debt and I got to pay it all off. That is not always the best case. And so these credit simulators are great. Because really, you can have good scores as long as your debt doesn't exceed 30% of the available credit. So you don't necessarily have to pay everything off. And it's just about reading. And I'm definitely happy to come back, you know, in the future and talk about credit, because it's really not that hard. It's very simple. It just really is.
Once again, you have blessed us with loads
Yay!
Of information. Thank you so much. Really do appreciate it. Like I said before.
Thank y'all for
just,
having me on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's just important that we just get started. Save something, any little thing, just to start, and then be consistent and continue to do it.
Don't go to Starbucks in the morning. Save $10.
Right.
Start that. That's right. A simple goal. Pack your lunch.
Make your coffee
tomorrow.
At home.
Don't eat out. Right.
Right.
Pack your lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Start the restaurants. Get all our money, y'all. That's who get our money.
Yeah, they really do. They really
mm-hmm.
do.
Yeah.
They really
yeah,
do.
We can really save a lot if we cut back on certain things that we don't really need.
Yes, that's the discussion, needs versus wants. I love y'all. I need 2 hours
Thank
of this
you.
Time. Now I'll just play.
Yes.
Thank
you
y'all so much.
Thank you,
Thank
Buffy.
You.
Y'all have a good evening. Thank y'all for listening.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. That was a great discussion. And definitely information we definitely needed. And, you know, for those who may have already be doing some of the things that Buffy said, it's definitely a great reminder to see if you're, you know, on track. Also, there's other things that we could be doing that we're probably not doing. It's always some way that we could be doing more when it comes to saving, I do believe. And so I hope that tonight's show has helped someone and it's encouraged someone to at least get started. So thanks again. That was part one of our business series. Next week we have a guest on that's going to come on, and she's going to, I'll just wait and post throughout the week, because she's going to really help us freelancers with our businesses, our existing businesses, for those of us who have businesses, and for those of us who want to get started. And a business, just like listening to Buffy's talk, is simple as setting up a corporation. And it's not necessarily that you have to be selling something or providing a service other than what you already do. So Cornelia
right.
Shipley will be here next Sunday to talk to us about that. And she has some great pointers and some great things that she wants to share. So join us for part two, and it's just going to get better as the weeks go. Okay. So thank you guys again for tuning in. And for those of you who will listen on the playback, thank you so much for your continued support. And we'll do it again next Sunday, same time, 9 p.m., right here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a wonderful, wonderful night and a blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.